Welcome back in. Final hour here of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Konezovic. Ladarius Robinson here with you as well on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live today out here hanging out at the Patron Platinum Club here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators take it on the New Jersey Devils later tonight at 5 p.m., so looking forward to that. Preds taking on the Devils tonight, then we'll travel to take on the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow. So a tough back-to-back set coming up here for the Predators. That action beginning tonight here at 5 o'clock. You can hear pregame with Darren McFarland at 4 o'clock tonight here on 102.5 The Game. Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show with Tennessee and Vandy coming up tomorrow. Some breaking news to begin the show here today. Tyon Evans, running back for Tennessee, announcing that he's putting his name in the transfer portal. He's been a guy that, when he's been healthy and has been on the field, been quite the player so far this year for Tennessee, averaging over 6 yards per carry. He absolutely destroyed Missouri on the ground in that game. He's been really good when he's been on the field. One game left in the regular season, Tyon Evans putting his name in the transfer portal. And, you know, we've talked about it a few times. I still can't really wrap my head around it in terms of it making all that much sense, but there's some chatter out of Knoxville saying the writing's been on the wall for weeks. Like, I don't really know what to make of this Tyon Evans situation.
Well, we've had some very detailed explanations on the text line today.
We won't
read aloud, but, you know, there's all kinds of stories flying around. No, I'm surprised to see it. And, you know, I don't think it makes much impact Saturday, probably. Especially because, you know, Jabari Small has gotten healthy, and he's a real – I mean, to me, it's certainly 1-2. Evans is the best back they have, but Small has been very good this year.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier on the show, you know, Jalen Wright's kind of coming on too as a freshman. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't totally understand it. I do understand if Tyon Evans, even with the limited – what was it, 81 carries? Is that what you were saying during the break?
He's 81. 81.
You know, even with those limited carries, I think he showed the talent and ability of someone who could play on Sundays. So if that was the decision, I get it. Getting in the portal, and, but remember too, now you know there's plenty of examples of people getting into the portal and then ultimately coming back to, you know, the team they're on. So maybe it's just kind of seeing what it looks like out there, and that's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, and you know, I don't want to speculate too much on this stuff because I don't know. But, like, the more I think about it, the more it has to be, like, something going on off the field. Like, it's – because the on-the-field part of this just doesn't make any sense. It's – you're one game away from the end of the regular season. As Mitch Light pointed out earlier on the show, like, you're a pretty good fit in this offense. This is an offense that's putting up a ton of points. You've had great production in this offense when you've been in there. So, strictly on the field, like, from a business decision, hey, I want to go to the NFL type mindset, this really makes no sense on the field. So, like, the more I think about it, the more I think it has to be something off the field, academically, whatever, that's going on with Tyon Evans.
Yeah, it could be, you know, yeah, it could be any number of things. You're probably right. Because I said earlier, like, okay, is there, you know, a guy like him, is there a quote-unquote bigger program, you know, a program that's in position to play in a college football playoff who would have – a need. Obviously, we saw Eric Gray go to Oklahoma in the offseason. He's had a pretty good year for them, by the way, too. Like, is that what Tyon Evans is trying to just see if there's something? But I mean, I don't have the depth charts of or all the recruits, you know, lined up at like Nebraska, Georgia, or not Nebraska. So I got Nebraska in my mind. I'm gonna give you a little pigskin pick'em preview.
Tommy Frazier walking back through that door.
Yeah, definitely not happening. But like Alabama, Georgia, I mean. Yeah, 5 stars waiting to back up your third string running back who's a 5-star. So I don't know. You're probably right that it's something else, and you know, it's too bad because they've been fun to watch in a lot of ways. I think you could argue he's been as fun as anyone to watch when he's gotten it going.
He's been a lot of fun to watch. So we'll see where Tyon Evans winds up when the transfer portal is all said and done. Meanwhile, big game between Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow. Tennessee, a 31.5-point favorite in this game. As I look at the matchup specifically, it's tough for me to imagine Vanderbilt getting that many stops against this Tennessee offense. I think the more intriguing question in this game is, what can Mike Wright and that Vanderbilt offense do against Tennessee's defense? Which, as you pointed out earlier, I think the defense has been better than we thought it would be this year with Tennessee. Now, there have been games where you'll look at the numbers and you'll say, I don't know about that, because they've given up some yards and they've given up some points. But I do think there is an opportunity there, even for what I still believe is a pretty limited Vanderbilt offense. Like, Mike Wright is pretty intriguing to me. He's really fast. He's very athletic. I think there are some plays to be made and to be had against this Tennessee defense, and I'm interested to see how Mike Wright answers the bell.
Mike Wright made some throws last week, including a little sort of like a timing back shoulder little throw that should have made it 31-24 with about a minute left, setting up an onside kick. And hit Cam Johnson both hands. It was definitely like as soon as you turn, the ball's there, but he wasn't able to gather it in. They ultimately lose 31-17. But he made some other throws, and he's got chemistry with Chris Pierce, who is absolutely a big physical, I think a guy who can play on Sundays, by the way, from Vanderbilt. And Mike Wright is coming on. I mean, he really is. He's a better passer, I think, right now than I thought. Like, when you think back to, like, preseason practice, and then he's as fast. There are not a ton of players in the SEC faster than Mike Wright. I mean, seriously.
Yep.
So that's the formula, is him having some, like, magical game and, finding some stops. That's the hard part for me to see with Vanderbilt, is finding too many stops. But long drives that result in touchdowns, I think their offense can have some success.
We'll see what happens on that front. If there's one thing that Tennessee's defense has been susceptible to all year, quarterback running the ball. And Mike Wright will present a big challenge that way. Now, if you're Tennessee, you also know that coming into the game, and you're going to try to do whatever you can to stop that and to limit that with quarterback spies and whatever you want to toss out there. But that has been a problem for Tennessee's defense this year.
Yeah, I mean, you want Mike Wright throwing the ball. But he's very much like with the Titans, with some of the quarterbacks they've played, like, you better stick to your rules, because if he breaks the pocket, he's probably going to outrun whoever you have on the edge there. You know, so you got to really hem him in. You want him throwing the ball for Tennessee. Another question I have is, Vanderbilt ran the ball for more than 200 yards. Some of that was Mike Wright, but a lot of it was their two running backs running between the tackles against Ole Miss. And I did not anticipate that happening. Does that mean they can do it this week? You know, I don't know. Tennessee's still among the nation's leaders in tackles for losses. I think they have a really good, veteran, front court, basketball on the brain.
It's on the brain, buddy.
Yeah, veteran front court. Veteran defensive lineman. I think that's a big part of Tennessee's good season. But they've been run on a fair amount too. I don't know. That's where I think Tennessee's probably going to be fine. I don't think they're going to get run on the way Ole Miss was. If you are run on like that, or even close to that, okay, well, now they can eat up a lot of clock, because Vanderbilt's got to find a way to play keep away.
We'll continue the discussion on some college football action, get to some big games around the country coming up next. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Got the Pigskin Pick'em coming up in about 15 minutes at 11:30. Get to our picks for the weekend in college football and the NFL as well. And Joe, it's a pretty good week on both fronts. NFL's got some great games this weekend. Rivalry week in college football as well. Some big matchups, including Georgia Tech, Ohio State, Michigan. Let's start with that one. It feels like Ohio State, Michigan, it gets talked about as the rivalry in college football every year. Michigan's won like one time in the last 16 years or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
How much of a chance do you give Michigan in this game at home against Ohio State, with maybe the most red-hot offense in the country coming in?
Yeah, I give them some chance. I give them a better chance than Michigan State. I mean, it'll be a better game than that. I'm confident in saying that. Michigan, I mean, look, they've got, you know, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is a legit, like, he's going to be a high pick in the draft. He's a legit pass rusher. They got other pass rushers. And their offense is playing well, so I think they have a chance. You know, you've got to get, like, strip sacks and, you know, it's stuff like that. I mean, straight up, I think on any field, Ohio State's probably 14 points better than Michigan, and I guess they would probably end up pulling away and winning by something like that. What is the line, by the way?
7.5.
Okay. You know, 10 to 14 point win for Ohio State would be my guess, but, I mean, if that's what you guess in a game that goes about evenly on the crazy mistake front, well, if Michigan can force a few of those at home, then maybe they can make it more interesting than that. I mean, Harbaugh, look, it's been a very impressive to me year for them, and kind of a validating year for him. He's still struggling to beat his rivals and win these huge games, but they're a pretty good team.
Oklahoma State in action tomorrow as well. Oklahoma State right now, number 7 in the country. They're 10-1. You know, it kind of feels like Oklahoma's out at this point, and it kind of feels like the Big 12 in general is out. But I guess if Oklahoma State can make a statement in this game, maybe they can hang around in the college football playoff discussion, maybe.
I mean, I think either team needs to blow out the other team.
Yep.
So if Oklahoma, and I think you're right, I mean, just the committee, the way they viewed Oklahoma already, like, I would feel like Oklahoma State maybe would have a better chance, just because I think, I don't know, is it some of it just like unspoken Oklahoma fatigue? I don't know. But if either of those teams, and I think especially Oklahoma State, blows out the other one and then goes in and beats Baylor in the Big 12 title game, then I think, you know, then I think that team is the threat to Cincinnati. As Mitch Light told us earlier, I mean, Cincinnati still has two games here that could be potentially problematic, could be dangerous. Not only do they need to win, and it's not like, you know, they've got to work hard to win these games. East Carolina's not a bad football team, but they need the style points. If they do that, man, it would be, to me, really, really bothersome for like an Oklahoma or Oklahoma State to sneak up and get them. But I do think it's possible. I mean, if you thump Oklahoma and thump Baylor and you're Oklahoma State, you got a case.
Alabama and Auburn tomorrow. Alabama's nearly a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. It's at Jordan-Hare, which has given Alabama some issues in the past. Obviously, the kick six game. Last time they were in there, they got beat by Auburn as well. What sort of a chance do you give Auburn to hang around in this game? And what, as we know, the last decade or so, they've had some nuts football games inside that stadium specifically.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Like, that's one where I would stay totally away from it. Like, because I believe in that rivalry. I believe in in-state rivalries and how those games can be so much better. I just saw Arkansas go into Alabama and have a chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, they were right there. And yet, if you tell me Alabama's going to win by 25, I'm not blinking at that.
No.
I don't know. It's a really – I mean, look, I hope it's a good one. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Michigan-Ohio State. Like, ultimately, I think, like, Alabama win by about 14. I think the line is big.
I think it's big in that game, too. 20.5. Now, look, a lot of it depends on which Bo Nix shows up. Because if he's throwing picks left and right, they're going to be in trouble. But that Alabama defense, I've not been overly impressed with Alabama's defense this year. The offense, you know, Bryce Young just threw for like 560 yards in their last game against
Arkansas.
And needed to win the game. So, and, you know, Brian Robinson had another 115 or whatever on the ground. So, you're talking about like 700 yards of offense last week from Alabama. So, I feel pretty good about their offense. Their defense, not been all that great, honestly. In the games I've watched, Henry Toto'o, not been all that great at Alabama.
Yeah, I've got some Alabama, especially one in particular, Alabama friend who's like, what was all this hype about Toto'o? And I'm like, well, he hasn't been good for Alabama? He's like, yeah, he's okay, but there's people talking about him like he's like some kind of difference making like first round. I mean, I'm like, nah. I think Toto'o's going to play in the NFL. Seems like he's been okay, but he hasn't been like some revelation there or anything like that. And that's the type of guy who at Tennessee stands out at Alabama. But, yeah, I mean, their defense has been underwhelming. This is also the week, speaking of defense, you know, if you're Derek Mason, you know, you got to be like, man, so I wanted to come in and take on this defense again. I wanted to come in and, get the heck out of the SEC, man. But he's done a pretty good job this year for the most part, but they've been all over the map too.
Did you see Saban's rant the other day on his radio show?
Yes.
That was like 3 minutes and 30 seconds long.
Yes, he's screaming at the fans that they have like they have no clue and they're like they have no perspective and they're like, yes!
Yes! Preach it, Nick!
Punish me, Coach Saban, punish me!
I gotta say, it's been a while since we've gotten one of those fired up rants from Nick Saban. I enjoy it every time it happens. I watched it two or three times the other day. It was pretty awesome. I enjoy me some revved up Nick Saban.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I mean, you could tell, you know, the guy hosting with him was a little bit like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, let's talk about our, you know, players of the week or whatever. I don't know, man. It's fine. But again, like, also understand that when you raise expectations, they're raised, and also, you know, you make $10 million a year or whatever. Come on. Relax.
Texas A&M taking on LSU tomorrow. Jimbo has repeatedly denied any chance of him leaving and going elsewhere. Do you believe Jimbo Fisher that he's staying put at Texas A&M?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't see – like, and is it real? Like, does anyone want him that badly that they're gonna outpay what he's getting at Texas A&M?
But Texas A&M wants him real bad.
I mean, they think
if they win tomorrow, he's liable to get another contract extension.
I mean, those natties are just going to start rolling in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the win over Saban this year now. That I mean, that gives you, you know, you can milk that for a while.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. But he's one of those – it's one of those things where I'm like, so why is he that coveted? I don't know. No, I think he'll stay there. I mean, I don't see – LSU was the big – obviously with the connection with him and LSU.
Yeah.
And doesn't look like that's happening. So, yeah, he'll be around to give you more good 9-3 seasons at a very high rate.
And then just keep those contract extensions rolling in, man. It's going to be fun to see how many more you can get. I think he's extended through like 2044 or something like that.
Well, and again, that's par for the course. It really is remarkable in college football. I mean, you can have a bad month now and just, you know, you're out of there. Or you can have a good season and get a 10-year, $95 million deal.
Where do you think Dan Mullen ends up? Is he going to be a head coach at like a, I don't know, mid-level program again? Is he going to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere? What do you think Dan Mullen does next?
It's incredible how much damage has been done to his reputation. Again, just football terms.
Yeah.
But apparently a lot of people don't like that guy. I think Dan Mullen could probably write his own ticket if he wanted to be an OC somewhere. I mean, how could you not want to hire that guy to develop your quarterbacks, right? So maybe that's where he settles into. Like, hey, in college basketball anymore, or college basketball again.
You're struggling.
I know. College football anymore.
I love it, Joe.
Yeah. In college football anymore, you can make like $2-3 million probably as we move forward, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as an OC at a great – for Saban's OC – what's Saban's OC? If you're like a guy like that, what are you going to make? $3 million?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad life.
I mean, Billy O might be out the door. Maybe that's where he goes.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said earlier, like last week or whatever, I mean, Vanderbilt to me should be like throwing – I mean, they're investing in a bunch of stuff. I'd be begging, you know, Dan Mullen to come here. But a lot of programs should be looking at it that way. Yeah, then at some point, does he do like the Butch thing and take over like an Arkansas State? Yeah, I don't know. You'd think that he would have a better, you know, opportunity than that, given his entire track record. But, man, talk about a damaging month for a coaching reputation. And I mean, look at Tom Herman could have written his ticket to any program in the country. And now I don't even know where he is. He's an analyst somewhere, right? And what's he going to get moving forward?
I don't know.
It's incredible how the rising and falling of some of these coaching reps.
And then I would assume that after this weekend, like by the time we're on air Monday, Tuesday of next week, like some of these big coaching vacancies have to start getting filled up, right? Like the LSUs, the USCs, the Floridas of the world. Like, you got to have a coach heading into the early signing day period. So I would imagine sometime in the next few days, some, if not all, of these coaching vacancies will be filled.
Yeah, it might be like, I mean, it's like a NFL draft, like a run on receivers or something. Also, it's like boom, 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 boom. And then, of course, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have the domino effect at lesser programs too, you know, mid-May group of five programs that are like good jobs. I mean, it's, yeah, I imagine it's going to get wild in a short period of time. Because like you said earlier on the show, I mean, you can, some of these places, you can be fine on signing day because of who you are. And some, like an LSU, probably would sign a good class if they didn't have a head coach. But, man, I got to think that makes a big difference with a few prospects right in the late going that you're competing with other top programs for to actually say, here's who you're playing for.
By the way, as Phillip points out on Twitter, the line in the Alabama-Auburn game, high because Bo Nix is out. Yeah, Bo Nix is out. I forgot about that. Ankle.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a blowout. Never mind. I thought that he was still questionable.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I can't see it. Sorry. Sorry, War Eagle. Can't see it.
Maybe it'll be in Pigskin Pick'em now for Rex Road when we come back.
That might have to change.
That'll be on the other side. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em. We'll get into our picks for the week for college football and around the NFL as well. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, give us a quick standings update after about four atrocious weeks in a row for me. I made some good progress, but man, I sucked last week. 1-5.
Yeah, 1-5 for you. Michelle and I both went 3-3 and got our locks. It was actually really Lamar Jackson, just all of a sudden he's sick. There goes one of mine. I don't know what the heck the Chargers did when they're up 27-10. There goes another one. I could have really – well, let's face it, neither of us is catching Michelle. But, you know, felt a lot better about things. But as it stands, Michelle, 43-23. 7-4. Yes, you were killing it on your locks. Stay humble, Michelle. 50 points. I'm 30-36, 4-7, 34 points. Robbie, you are now 20-9-37, 2-9 in your locks with 31 points.
Brutal.
So it's you. You know, we're in a battle for second.
So with that in mind, we'll kick things off today. Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee. The Vols favored by 31.5 in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Vanderbilt and the Vols.
Listen, this one was hard for me, guys, because I do think that Tennessee can beat Vandy by over 31 points, but it's rivalry week, and anything can happen. So I'm taking Vandy in this one.
Michelle going with the Doors in this one. Joe Rexrode, Vanderbilt and Tennessee Vols favored by 31.5.
Yeah, that's just a bit. I mean, even if you gave me like, you know, 30.5, I might go. I think I'd still probably go Vanderbilt, but 31.5 is big, man. I think Tennessee will win handily, and they'll have their way on offense. I think Vanderbilt's offense can make this competitive. Like I said, I called the shot earlier, single digits in the fourth quarter. I still would guess like Tennessee by about, you know, 16 to 20 points. But, yeah, I'm taking Vandy.
Vols, lock.
Oh!
Locking down on the Vols.
Rivalry week, lock time.
Look, I don't think they have any prayer of stopping Tennessee's offense very often. Maybe at all.
Sorry, Rob, that was so late.
That's okay. I think Tennessee's going to put up like 55 in this game.
Are you listening, Vanderbilt fans?
That's right.
Listen to the
lock. That's probably good news for you. I've been awful on my locks this year. So probably the best possible outcome for Vanderbilt fans that I just did that. But I'll go Vols locking it down against Vanderbilt. The Titans taking on the Patriots coming up on Sunday. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. The Patriots are favored by 6.5 in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Who do you have between the Titans and the Patriots?
Yep, I'm gonna go with the Patriots. I don't know if this is just a total like blow the doors off kind of game, but I think you touched on something earlier that I believe, which is like at some point you have these great performances, you rise up, but at some point you are too diminished as a team to do that. And I don't know that if I buy the Patriots as a contender with a rookie quarterback, but they are playing really good football right now, running the ball, playing good defense, quarterback's playing well. I like the Patriots given the 6.5.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know where the offense is really going to come from in this game for the Titans. I'd be surprised at this point if A.J. Brown's in there. Now, that could change, I guess, if he is in there, and I'd feel a little bit differently. But I just think the Patriots are going to be too much for the Titans in this game, given the state of this Titans roster. So I will go the Patriots in this game as well. Michelle Knezevic, Patriots favored by 6.5 against the Titans.
Okay, this was another. I feel like all these games are really hard this week because I really don't feel like the Titans can win, especially with their roster. But both of you guys picked the Patriots. I don't think the Titans will win, but I think they cover, so give me the Titans on it.
So going the Titans plus the 6.5 against the Patriots. Now, since Vanderbilt and Tennessee are playing each other this week, we will now go with individual selections. So that means four individual selections this week. I'll kick us off. Give me Oklahoma State minus 4.5 against Oklahoma. I just think, quite frankly, what I've seen of Oklahoma this year, they're not very good. And I think the mullet is going to get it done in this matchup, so I will go Oklahoma State minus the 4.5 against Oklahoma. Michelle, your first individual selection is whom?
This one is in honor of Will. Nebraska favored by 1.5 over Iowa. I think Nebraska gets it done. Huskers up. Give me Nebraska in this one.
So Nebraska minus 1.5 against the Hawkeyes in this game. Michelle going with Nebraska. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, I may as well knock that one out first. So, I did last week, I just went all NFL, because I'm sick of college football. I'm not going to do that this week. I'm going to go, this is my cheeks week, okay?
Okay.
I'm going with a bunch of teams that aren't good, but I'm going to pick them. And Nebraska is one of those teams. I think they are the greatest 8-loss team ever. And they're at home today, by the way. Farmageddon is today.
That is today.
Iowa, Nebraska. I'm with Michelle. Give me the Cornhuskers minus 1.5.
Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, we just talked about this game. Auburn, Alabama. And I know Bo Nix is out, but give me Auburn plus 20.5.
Auburn plus 20.5 against Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Well, let's stick with college football and the Cheeks theme. Houston at UConn.
UConn is making its way back, Joe.
We haven't had UConn in here in a while, and let me tell you something. They are getting 32.5 points, and Houston is going to blow them out. But I see the backdoor cover here. Bad beat. Give me UConn plus 32.5. Senior day, playing for a little pride there with the Huskies.
UConn plus 32.5 against Houston. So they get back in there on the backdoor cover. I will go to the NFL. It's been a nice story with the Indianapolis Colts. That story ends this week. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 3 against the Colts. I think the Bucs will slow that running game down enough to force Carson Wentz to have to throw the ball. And I don't know if Carson Wentz throwing the ball against that defense is a recipe for success. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 3 against the Indianapolis Colts. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
Okay, let's take the Cheeks to the NFL. How about some Jets-Texans?
Ooh, Joe.
Oh, yes. Oh, someone's got to pick this game. I love this game. Jets at Texans. Texans minus 2.5. The Texans are not a terrible football team with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. The Jets are a terrible football team with whoever at quarterback. Give me the Texans. Make it my lock.
Oh, yes. He is locking down on the Houston Texans. Didn't think I'd hear that phrase all year, but here we are. Locking down.
UConn, Texans. Let's go,
and
Huskers.
I'm sure that Davis Mills saw that pick coming a mile away that Joe Rexroad just made. Michelle Knezevic, your third individual selection.
Well, this is just I just have a lot of spicy picks. Robbie, you took the Bucs.
I did.
Give me the Colts at plus 3. I think they're on the come up. And, yeah, we'll
Colts
see who wins
plus
that
3
one.
Against the Bucs.
I like when we have opposing picks.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't go well for you or me if it's against Michelle. But
it does not.
Good luck.
We'll see what happens on that front. Give me... God, I really don't feel good about doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. Packers are at home at Lambeau Field. They're underdogs in this game. It's going to be about probably around 30 at kickoff. Give me the Green Bay Packers plus 1 against the Rams. It's cold. I don't know how LA is going to respond to the cold. We'll see how they get it done there. They are coming off a bye week. They've lost 2 games in a row. Really don't feel good about this, but I'm doing it anyway. Give me the Packers plus 1 against the Rams. And I'll close this out with our final round of individual selections as well. Give me... the Badgers, minus 6.5 against Minnesota. The boat going to run into some dry land against Wisconsin. There will be no rowing. The Badgers, -6.5 against Minnesota in a big rivalry game.
So you've kind of gone. I've gone cheeks. You've gone cheese.
Yeah, I've got a lot of cheese there.
Whoa,
this weekend.
Nice, Joe. Nice one, Joe.
Joe Rexroad,
hopefully
your final.
No one listened to that joke.
I hope everyone did. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Well, in keeping, how about a little Eagles at Giants?
Yes.
A huge NFC East battle. You know, the Eagles are actually playing pretty well lately.
Yeah.
The Giants
despite
are.
Despite their coach.
Pure cheeks. Yes. Nick Sirianni, hey, I don't know. He's figured something out. He's figured out some of his players' names. So, the Giants are getting 3.5 at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the Eagles. Eagles are going to win this game by double figures.
Eagles -3.5 against the Giants. What a coaching battle. I mean, just think about the coaches on the field in that game.
Joe Judge.
Jeremy Pruitt. Derek Dooley,
but you know who's not part of it? They fired Jason Garrett.
They did fire Jason Garrett.
Jason, call me Coach Garrett, is out.
That is correct. He is gone. Michelle Gnezovic, your final individual selection.
Well, it wouldn't be right if I didn't end with this one.
Of course.
Catterday.
Kentucky at Louisville. A big L's down this weekend. Kentucky is the underdog by 2.5. This is my lock. And give me Kentucky on everything. Money line, they're going to cover. Governor's Ball Trophy, whatever it's called. We're taking it home to Lexington.
The Governor's Cup?
God, I would hope that. That's an amazing idea for a trophy, though.
The Governor's Ball?
The Governor's Ball. Everything, we got it all. And if we don't win, I will not be here on Monday. Sorry,
okay.
Ryan. That's a moral one. L's
like
down all the way. Yeah.
I'd like the L's down. I didn't even know that was a thing. Imagine the Governor's Ball trophy would be like an evening gown and a tuxedo for a trophy or something.
It'd be fantastic. Yeah, it'd be fabulous.
Is anybody going to be in attendance in this game, or if Kentucky and Louisville fans both moved on to
well, here's the thing.
Season?
Is there a in scrimmage Louisville, or something?
In Louisville, you can find Kentucky fans, but in Lexington, you can't find Louisville fans. So we'll be showing out a lot of blue in Cardinal Stadium. So yeah.
How about you? You
get
going?
Get ready.
It's a short drive.
Yeah. Oh, Junie actually just texted me, who works with us, and he is a big Louisville fan. And he said, do not talk to me, Michelle, if,
wow. It's getting hostile
if they win.
Out there.
So, yeah, I said I will not be in work on Monday if they win. So, yeah, here we go.
Is there a bet between you two?
I don't know, but we should make one.
I think that would be appropriate right now. Make it public.
Junie has to wear, I hope he agrees with this, he has to wear Kentucky stuff. And I guess I could put a Louisville thing on because I'm so confident that we will win. So
yeah, this has not gone well for you once.
It has not.
Year.
The orange to the red.
Yeah.
Man.
Just really doesn't go good with the hair color, guys.
That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. We'll see if Joe Rexroad and myself can be a little bit better, especially myself. I think I've been 2-4 or worse like 4 weeks in a row. It's tough, man.
That's tough.
I climbed out of
the
hole.
You had a good week. What'd you have? Like a 5-1, right?
Yeah. And then it's been straight cheeks
ever
since then. See if we can climb our way out of it. That does it for Pigskin Pick'em. Today, when we come back, it is time for Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number one. We'll have a chance to guess the goal scorer for the Nashville Predators tonight as they take on the New Jersey Devils and win some tickets to a future Preds home game. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action later today against the New Jersey Devils at 5 o'clock, pregame at 4 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's give a quick standings update in our Preds Pick to Click competition as Joe Rex Road has totally shut down his computer in the middle of the Zoom feed.
I refuse to be on camera for this final segment.
Thank you.
This is purely has to be an off-camera segment.
That's correct. Joe Rexroad in first place with 5 correct answers. Our listeners in second with 4. Michelle Gnezovic with 3. Robbie Stanley bringing up the rear with 1 correct answer in this competition. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, which is Tim. Tim, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexroad. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? It's Tim from Lewisburg. How are y'all?
Hey, Tim. Doing
good,
great,
Tim.
Man. How are you?
Hey. I'm going to go off a little bit off the rails, you know, and I'm going to take Colton Sissons.
So going Colton Sissons with the pick tonight. I like it. Tim, thanks for calling in, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Colton Sissons, the first picked in the competition by Tim from Lewisburg. That's probably the first time we've ever had Colton Sissons pick number one, would be my guess.
I would say so. He's been picked.
He's been picked before.
But as the first pick, I think you're probably right.
I believe that is probably correct. Michelle Knezovic, you are up next in the competition. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators is whom?
Matt Duchene. Yeah.
Wow, we're going to go with him. Not much hesitation there. Well, Matt Duchene.
Yeah, we'll go with him.
The selection by Michelle Knezovic. Joe Rexroth, you are up next. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Quite a gift there from Tim to Michelle. Quite a gift.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. I'll go with the guy who looked pretty good coming back last game. I think I'll go with Forsberg.
I figured you probably would. Two goals and another goal got taken away from Forsberg the other night against the Vegas Golden Knights. I will go with Mikael Granlund as my pick to click in this matchup. So give me Granlund to score against the New Jersey Devils. So Tim from Lewisburg with Colton Sissons, Michelle, Matt Duchene, Joe Rexroth selecting Philip Forsberg, Robbie Stanley going with Mikael Granlund tonight against the New Jersey Devils. So we'll see what happens. Good luck in Preds Pick to Click.
Hey, Jared setting up his computer. Maybe he could be on the screen instead of me for our last segment. Would you like to get in there, Jared?
Look at him. Doesn't seem like there's much consideration going on over there.
You know, since 60% of the show is about Jared? Is that right? Is that what you estimated, Jared? We talk about you 60% of the time?
So here's my thing. First of all, I'd like to say happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jared.
And I want to commend both of you because you guys have decided to show up to work today.
Oh, thanks.
You guys and Michelle and Elijah and Chase and Ladarius and, you know, the people that realize that Thanksgiving is one day, I'd like to thank for showing up. I will say this. I literally got so much enjoyment. It was one of those days where I was going over to the Titans facility to get my little COVID test in the morning, and I get in the car, and you guys are talking about me. Like, I wake up, and I just get in the car,
It's
like,
it's always,
you know, well, what Jared said, and Jared this, and Jared that, and I'm like, okay, great. And then I'm in the car on the way. You guys are talking about it. Then I text you something. Then you guys go to break. The first spot is like, hey, it's Jared here for my friends. And there were like three of my own commercials in there.
I mean, you must have just been in heaven, right?
Then you guys come
back. The narcissist in you.
You respond to the text that I sent. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's pretty good job security to basically do 100% of the content for one show and then do 60% of the content for the other show.
Yeah, you're right.
And I've decided.
At least. You might be on the low end.
I've decided that the big key to all of this is that I am aware of the fact that people don't like me. Like, I don't understand, like, the personal venom sometimes, but I get it. I understand. But what I think's great is, obviously, my show has a very large audience, you know, 1/10 of a point larger than yours.
Not to toot your own horn or anything.
We have a very large audience, and you guys now have a
very, very bigly show.
I have to say, you guys have developed a very large audience as well, which I did. Who was the first person to text you congratulations about how well your show has been doing?
It was you.
There you go. So I'm a credit where credit's due guy. My gut is telling me that your show is ultimately going to overtake our show in listenership. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you guys should get the people who do listen to us in the afternoons because we talk so much about the crazy stuff Joe says. But you should also get the people that don't like me who are like, yeah, Joe, you're the man. Get them. Yeah, I'm not going to pay to read your content, but I'll listen to your show and you tell them, Joe. So I just think it's great teamwork.
I did not intend for you to completely dominate this last segment with your mouth, Jared. I mean, all you've done is talk this entire time.
What'd you expect me to do? Like, say, so, guys, how's the...
Happy Thanksgiving. Right,
I tell you guys biggest pet peeve with Robbie? Like, I'm just saying it on the air. I don't know if I've told you this. Like,
I don't know if you have either, but let her fly.
Yes, let's see.
Okay, so when I'm in the car, and you just did it, whenever you have a guest on the show, it's always like, joining us now, Terry Crisp. Terry, how you doing? And every time, I just want to take this chair and just throw it like Bobby Knight on the floor.
You're not concerned with how Terry Crisp is doing?
When you just asked the caller, like you were like, hey, how you doing? He's like, hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. How are you? You're like, good. How are you? I'm looking at you like, in fact, I used to get on.
So you don't ask people how they're doing?
No, that's radio like 102. Not 101, but 102 okay. is like, you know, keep it going.
Don't ask people how they're doing. Okay.
No, yes. It is.
Hope you're doing poorly. Let's ask you a question.
Yes. It is not. You no.
Jared Stillman hates Crispy. It's what we've learned so far. Yes.
I think that's a headline for this.
Porth used to tell me like that, because I'll do it with every, I mean, you guys have all been guests on, you know, with me. And yes. I'd be like, Robbie Stanley joins us. Robbie, the Predators lost the other night. They're now technically out of the playoffs. What do we make of this? Whatever.
Sure.
Ryan Porth used to tell me, like, hey, when you bring Laviolette on, like, you need to ask him how he's doing. Because I would go right into questions with Laviolette. And Laviolette,
he got offended by that if he didn't?
He'd be like, well, I'm just really glad to be on your show, guys. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well today. Thank you for not asking.
Like, he essentially. And so I was like, okay. So if it's like that, and I'm asked ahead of time to ask someone how they're doing, then as much as it pains me, I'll do it. But like a caller, I used to tell Floyd. I used to be like, you know,
this is the biggest waste of time I've ever encountered.
No. Your Hall & Oates list definitely takes.
Whoa, there, Jared. Whoa, no, he's too far.
Friend of the show, John Oates, by the way.
What do you think your audience cares more about? Me telling a Floyd story or Hall & Oates?
I mean,
okay.
All right, there
just keep telling your story.
So I used to, like, he never really would like interact with the callers as like a hey there or whatever. But anytime someone asked how we're doing, I'd say, good. Well, and ask the GM, I would just take the questions, and then I'd kind of tune out. And I'd just let him, whatever. And people would be like, hey, Floyd, how you doing? And he'd be like, good, how are you? And I'm like, hey, like, don't ask them how they're doing. Like, let them get right to their question.
His ability to talk is quite something.
Seriously. I'm doing great. Now ask your question. I don't give a crap how you're doing.
Every now and then, Floyd would slip up, and they'd say, Floyd, how you doing? I'm great. How are you? And I'd give him this look, and he'd look at me like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. So like a month after he died, I finally was like listening to an old Jared and the GM podcast, and we're listening to Ask the GM, and he did it. And I'm walking down my street, and as soon as I hear that, you know, good, how are you? I just turn my head like as like a natural like like a natural like, Floyd, what are you doing to the show right now? You're ruining the show. So I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Maybe you should have a little like Jared, you know, put a little Jared bobblehead in front of you for every time you ask someone how they're doing.
Maybe
you
so.
Know, like hit the like, you know, I have like shock to, treatment.
One
or
pull up.
You know?
I have to give Joe some credit. This is the second time I'm giving him credit in this segment. Third time. You guys showed up to work. You guys are, I give you credit. I mean, you have a column out that somewhat criticizes Tannehill.
I give you credit for dodging me and Jared versus Joe this week.
Wow.
No. Whoa. Somebody had to go to King Richard. And somebody didn't know what King Richard was. And wow. I'll let you guess which one was which.
Actually, we'd end up not going to.
Oh, my God.
You dodge me.
Thanksgiving is one day.
Robbie, would you like to say anything this
segment? Nope, I'm good. Jared and Chase going to be joining us, or not joining us. They'll be on the show from 12 to 4 today. Bit of a different holiday schedule for those who have reached out on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's going to do it for us here today. We'll be back at our normal time slot, 6 a.m. coming up on Monday morning, reacting to the Titans and the Patriots. A big weekend here of sports here in the Middle Tennessee area. Jared and Chase coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.